Welcome back to the Commander Clash Podcast. Today we're going to rank every single five-color commander. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander Clash Podcast, where the Commander Clash crew talks all things Commander. And this week, we're going to try to rank every single five-color commander. And there's a lot of them, which means we should probably jump right into it. Start ranking some cards. Before we do, we got a crew to introduce. We got Tomer, we got Phil, we got Krim. How's it going today, guys? Are you excited for some five-color commander action?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know actually if I ever really play five-color commanders, so
I'm guilty.
Outside
I'm
of
guilty.
Like one.
I got three.
So yeah, I'm excited to talk about them, though.
Oh, Tomer, yeah. Tomer's got all the commanders over there. So oh, anyway, yeah. Before we get into the commanders, we got a couple of sponsors today. Our show is brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution to flattening your foils. It's a two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards, and Foil Armor will absorb and release the moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put a pack inside your storage box to keep your cards flat forever, and you can head over to foilarmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. Our show is also brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can share curated service via sending as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use our sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your magic cards. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And now it's time for the comment of the week. So last week we did another round of Fish Tank, and our top comment comes from @LazyDino59. Says the fact that Richard isn't here and trying to sell me an ivory tower again is disappointing. I will say Richard always had some good takes for Fish Tank, that is for sure. All right, anyway, let's rank every five-color commander. So there are, I don't know, almost 60 of these, mid-50s of these. So we kind of filled out this big tier list, and the way we're going to break this down is into a few different groups. And the biggest group of five-color commanders are commanders that we all kind of agree are what would be B-tier based on our ranking scale, which is good, but basically for a specific deck. So this is a ton of different commanders. They fall into a few big categories. You have, like, Universes Beyond slop commanders that we've seen from some recent sets. We have five-color tribal commanders. We have five-color matters commanders, five-color shrine commanders, multicolor matter commanders, ally commanders, sliver commanders, dragon commanders. And we're going to get into some of these groups in just a minute. But the list of these cards, it's pretty long. We got Atagatag, Cosmic Spider-Man, Horde of Notions, Infinite Guideline Station, Jared Karthalion, Madrina Vinrell, three different Niv-Mizzets, Guild Pact, Reborn, Supreme, Omnath, Locus of All, Reaper King, Scion of the Ur-Dragons, a whole bunch of Slivers, a Sliver Gravemother, Hive Lord, Legion, Overlord, Queen, and the First Sliver. We have Tiamat, Tom Bombadil, Avatar Aang, Azlas, the Swelling Scourge, Ezio from
Assassin's Creed.
From the Assassin's Creed set. We have Goshen Dialife's Origins, High Bay Forest Guardian, Jensen Karthion, General Tazri, Tazri Beacon of Unity, Olatek, Urtet, and the Ur-Dragon. So this is our huge group of B-tier.
How are you not out of breath?
I know I am now.
That's like all of them.
So rather than talking about all of these commanders individually, kind of want to talk about them as groups. So first, we have five color UB slop commanders. And I told her I want to mention this to you because you just did a video about how every set now we kind of get these five color commanders, but there's actually some upside to that, right? I know people like to call them slop commanders, but there's some upside to doing this every set.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of these are aimed at, like, people who are a fan of an IP, and they're like, I want to take the cards from the IP that I like, be it Spider-Man or Avatar or whatever, and I want to put those cards in a single deck, and I want a commander that will make the deck somewhat functional. And I think that's, like, the primary design goal of these. I never got an official confirmation from the designers because they can't say anything that's not publicly acknowledged, but I think that's the intent, and yeah. I kind of like it. Yeah, I don't know about slop. Like, I feel like that's just like a, I feel like slop had a cool definition before when we were talking about like AI stuff, like low effort things that are being turned out. And now it's just like thing I don't like. And we have so many ways of saying thing we don't like. So why did we have to ruin slop for it? But whatever, that's a side tangent. Right. Yeah,
well,
some of them are,
this
I
is like when
some
your grandpa shows up and it's like, hello, what up? Let's talk about it. Radical, little friend. Well,
all right, we can drop the slop, but the five color UB commanders.
I won't.
They're basically commanders that if you're going to do what Tomer said, they're the right commander for that choice. Or if you want to build five color Spider-Man, you're going to play Cosmic Spider-Man as your commander. Or Ezio does that for Assassins from Assassin's Creed. Avatar Aang kind of lets you play all the bendings from Avatar. If you're not doing those things, they're not super appealing as commanders. But if you are doing that thing, they're very good as commanders. Another group that's like that, Phil, is five color tribal commanders. Horde and Oceans, Reaper King, Olatek, Urtat, Azglask, Atagatag. These are commanders that they work with a specific creature type. So if you want to be five color, whatever, elementals, Horde and Ocean's great. Otherwise, not many uses for those cards, right?
Yeah. And I mean, the biggest block of them are the slivers. They're always five colors. Mm. It's kind of, is Ur-Dragon part of this?
We're gonna get to the specific creature types in a minute because there's a couple of dragons, there's a bunch of slivers, so we're kind of gonna debate which are best for those specific themes once we get to them. But
yeah,
like
I don't
few
think
of them didn't
any
fit.
Of those is the best commander for a tribe. I'm not sure if I
hey Scarecrow
this,
Reaper
but isn't it?
It's gotta
yeah,
be.
I guess for Scarecrows you gotta have as much options as possible, but otherwise it's just like you play the best of every. One like slivers, it's like, oh yeah, you play the best slivers in every color and then that's it. So maybe that's a little boring in general, but maybe you just want all the colors of elementals, which is also cool.
Hey, I like five color decks.
Teemo Omnath. Nah, it's gotta be Teemo Omnath for elementals.
Our last generic category before we get to a little bit of debate here, there's a couple of just five-color thematic commanders. I think Tom Bombadil would be one, Marina Vendrell. They're five-color commanders that if you want to be sagas, very good. If you want to be rooms, I guess, with Marina Vendrell, very good. Krim, do these commanders have any other... I see you saying no over there. Do you have any other uses for these commanders?
I mean, the message of what you're getting across, true. Marina Vendrell... not actually that good in a rooms deck. Like, not worth it. So I don't know. But yeah. No, nothing else. Don't worry.
All right. So now we have a little bit of debating to do. So in this huge list of commanders, there's kind of five different themes that have multiple commanders. And I want you guys to help me figure out which is actually the best. So first off, we got an easy one because there's only two commanders here. Five color shrines. You have two options. You have Goshentai of Life's Origins, which let me pull up the full text here. Goshentai of Life's Origins is four mana for a 3/4. You can pay Wooburg, tap it to return an enchantment card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Its important ability, though, is when it or another shrine enters, you make a 1/1 colorless shrine enchantment creature token. So a way to make a bunch of shrines. Our new addition, High Bay Forest Guardian, 4 mana 4/4, when it enters, you reveal cards from your library until you hit a shrine, put it in the battlefield, and then you pay Woodberg, tap it, and for each legendary enchantment you control, like your shrines, you get 1/1 unblockable spirit creature tokens. So I'm curious. I think Goshentai is very broken, but I've heard people say High Bay is actually very good too. You're building five color shrines. Which of these two do you think is best? Like, what's your pick for the number one five color shrine commander?
I mean...
All right, it's got to be Goshentai.
Is there an order?
Right?
Should we all just...
I mean, Phil said Goshentai. What do you say, Krim?
I'm going to agree with Phil, right? Goshentai, right? There's no other shrine commander.
Both of these are going to be killed on sight. Like, I don't... Like, I know we had this debate when we were reviewing commanders on the podcast for Avatar, and I think Seth was like, finally, I can play shrines, but I don't have to be killed on sight. It's like, no, of course I can kill you on sight. Hey, Vi's chill. He's not chill. His ETB puts another shrine on the battlefield. You start blinking him? Get out of here. I think Goshentai is better, but, like, if you are at a table where there's a lot of removal and people are like, we're going to kill your commander, and it's going to die because you're playing shrines, you should probably switch to Heibai, because even if he dies, he ETB got a shrine for you. Whereas Goshentai really needs to stick around, you know? Or else you're not really pumping out them shrines that much.
It can make so many shrines when it gets going. I think they're actually both very good shrine commanders. I would say, like, if we're using our traditional, like, tier list ranking, I would say four shrines, Goshintai is, like, S tier, and Haibei is probably A tier, but they're both, like, really good options. Anyway, let's go on to our next group. This one's going to be a little trickier because there's a bunch of cards here. So there are a bunch of five-color commanders that are essentially multicolor matters commanders. You have like Jensen Karthalion, you have Omnath Locust of All, you have Infinite Guideline Station, you have Jared Karthalion, Nimizzet Supreme, Nimizzet Guildpack, Nimizzet Reborn, all in some way or another. These commanders want you to play multicolor cards, they want you to play five color cards. My question for you, crew, is which of these is the best if you want to build a multicolor matter deck? And which of these do you want to avoid? Or are there any of these that stick out as like the D tier where you're like, that's just not really strong enough to be the leader of a five color multicolor matter decks? Let's start with you, Tomer. You got any picks for best or worst of these multicolor matter five color commanders?
So I would say best is probably Nimizzet. There's so many Nimbus.
There's too many Nimbus.
Oh my god. It's Nimbus Reborn. That's the ETB. It cares about two color pairs. I like that one because he's a big beefy boy. And he ETBs, gets you all that card advantage. And then if he dies, like, okay, whatever, I'll recast him later. Who cares? And then if he sticks around, well, maybe I'll blink him a little bit and have some more fun that way. So I like him because he's very consistent. Worst probably Jensen Karthalion, because he's like, it's very neat, and I like that it's like, if you play exactly five color spells, you get this cool reward. But then the cool reward is like you get a 4/4 token. It's like, okay, well,
thanks. The talent.
Thanks. Cool.
I like what it was trying to do. I just wish it had a more powerful payoff, because I think like the five color matters theme is interesting. I just wish it did more, and it's like probably worse than Jared Karthalion if you want to go five color matters anyway. The like planeswalker that can be legal as your commander. But what about you, Phil? What's your best and worst of the multicolor matters five colors?
I think the worst one is the station is super clunky, the infinite guideline station.
Yeah.
I got a shout out Jensen Karthalion because I played it for, I think, CDH or something, or like who could die first or something. It was cheapest five color commander.
Okay.
So that's something.
That is something.
My favorite, I don't know if it's the strongest, I think Nif is super strong, but it kind of locks you into.
Play which Niv?
Oh yeah,
the five.
The one that's actually the one from Niv to Light. The one.
Man, Nimizzet Reborn
gets you 10 cards.
Yeah.
But Jared Karthalion is cool because now that Coalition Victory is legal, it creates tokens of any color.
Oh right.
So you kind of have a combo kill there. So that's kind of, I think it's the coolest commander if you want to pull off the Coalition Victory. And then you do this once, and then you pack up the deck and say, oh, that was anticlimactic. Nice.
Got him. We did the thing.
So far, it's still my favorite, though. I haven't pulled off the combo, though. So let's see how I feel about it afterwards.
It'll be good for the one game you do. Pretty good, though, right? Like, I thought when Krim was playing Nimizzet Supreme, the burger guy, I thought he was pretty good.
Nimizzet with sour cream?
Yeah.
I think the problem is they all kind of care about the same thing, right? Which is two color cards for the most part. Mm-hmm. And Nimizzet Reborn is just like the most immediate impact. I think they're all good, mm-hmm. but as you mentioned, Tomer, like it's just hard to beat the enters, draw like 5 to 10 cards, depending on how lucky you get. When the other ones, they're also powerful, but you need to get like permanence on the battlefield or get two color instants and sorceries in your graveyard. So they're still good. Mm-hmm. They just take a little bit more setup, I think, than Reborn does. But Krim, what do you think? What's your ranking, best and worst of these five color matters commanders?
After playing Niv-Mizzet Supreme, I kept the deck. I think it rivals Reborn. Obviously, I made it less meme-y, and I went fully into like what I would normally play.
Oh,
but
God.
Like Reborn, yes, it enters, it gets you the ETB, all those cards, but your graveyard is essentially your other hand, and then you get to build like a lot of like the casting spells from your graveyard is 2 mana cheaper and stuff like that, or anywhere outside of your hand. So I actually really like Niv-Mizzet Supreme. and Reborn at the same level for best. I do think the worst is not Jensen Karthalion or whatever.
Ooh.
I would take the 4/4 and the color filtering, whatever, over Niv-Mizzet Guild Pact. I think Niv-Mizzet Guild Pact is arguably the hardest and the least like worth when it comes to payoff. So Guild Pact is the one from Murders, Flying Hexproof from Multicolored, and it has to deal combat damage to a player, not on attack, deal the damage, and then it deals X damage to any target. Target player draws X, and you gain X life, where X is the number of different color pairs among permanents you control that are exactly two colors. So yeah. You have to actually get in and hit, not just attack, you have to connect. Then you get all of this, and it's dependent on how many exactly two color cards you have on board.
That's a lot.
I'm sorry. That is kind of poo stew. I am not down with this one.
But Hexproof from Multicolored.
Yeah.
No, it should be Protection, though.
I mean, yeah.
The big problem, I tried to build this commander, and the problem that I ran into building the Niv-Mizzet Guild Pact is a lot of the best two-color cards are spells. It's a lot of charms and removal spells, and there's not as many good like two-color permanents that you end up wanting on the battlefield. So compared to the other Nivs that care about spells, which are plentiful, it's just really hard to get that many. Like maybe you get one or two on the battlefield, and then you're like, what? Dealing two, drawing two, gaining two for getting in with this five-color like commander that's just not
Niv
not
doesn't
worth
even
it.
Count himself, right? And like at least Jensen is two mana. Jensen is two mana, and I can get that down, green, white. All right, at least now whenever I cast my stuff, I do things. But, like, Niv-Mizzet, like, Guild Pact is so bad. So but, when you think about this archetype, it is funny that Niv is the best and also the worst.
But one cool thing is if you're an old boomer, magic boomer like me, you get to run the border post or whatever from Alara.
Yes, border post.
That I haven't played in like 15, 20 years or something like that. And then it's like,
why is
it's
that
playable
over?
Here.
Yeah. Oh, it's playable. But, that's like when I say this card is standard legal, right? Like you can technically play this. It is a right. legal card.
I agree with you guys. Niv-Mizzet Reborn, I think, is the best of the Multicolor Matters five-color commanders. The other one I wanted to shout out for being, and maybe it's not quite the worst, but I think it's pretty bad and kind of boring and a little disappointing because the character has a lot of really good cards. Omnath Locust of All is like one of those commanders that is like a good stuff five color commander, but it's just not that good of good stuff. So I never really play it for anything, but it's all five colors. If you lose unspent mana, it turns into black mana. And then being a pre-combat main phase, you look at the top card of your library. If it's three or more colors, you get to add three mana of any color combination and put it into your hand. So if you don't, you still get to put it into your hand. So it asks for three color cards, and its reward is mostly drawing you a card when it works, which is just, compared to Niv just refilling your hand or whatever, is not that exciting.
I thought you'd love this. Is this not a five-color Phyrexian Arena?
See, like, so the problem is...
But it also only costs four. But all these other ones are like five mana. This is four because it's a Phyrexian mana for
the
black.
Wait, doesn't it ask for a three-color card? It asks for cards with three mana pips in it, right?
Did I read that incorrectly?
You can't play like a Gigantosaurus or something with this, right? Wasn't that the gimmick?
You're right. Three or more colored like mana symbols. So it can be...
It's not that
bad. Play mono
and
black.
Also, you start doing like some top deck manipulation. I think this one's fine.
Meh.
It's a Phyrexian arena.
Boring.
For four mana.
I could just play Kenrith. I could just play Kenrith if I want a generic five-color commander. all right, let's move on to our next group. This one's a little smaller. There's two five-color ally commanders. They both happen to be General Tazris, or Tazris in some form or another. General Tazri versus Tazri Beacon of Unity. So General Tazri, if I can find it in this massive list of cards, is a 5-mana 3/4. Then when it enters, you can tutor for an ally and put it in your hand, and then you can pay Wooburg to give allies +X/+S until end of turn, where X is the number of colors among creatures you control. And then, where's our second Tazri? Tazri Beacon of Unity, 5 mana for a 4/6. It costs 1 less to cast for each creature in your party, and then you can reveal You can reveal up to two, blue and two hybrid, black and two hybrid, red and two hybrid, green and two hybrid. Reveal the top, look at the top six cards of your library. You can reveal up to two clerics, rogues, warriors, wizards, or allies. Put them into your hand, the rest go on the bottom in a random order. You're playing allies. Which one are you guys playing?
Sokka.
Sokka. No, boo, boo.
Yeah, wait, not five wait, colors. Why not Sokka?
It's not five
oh,
colors.
Oh, not?
It's five colors.
Oh, he's
commanders.
Just
yes,
guy.
He's Jeskai.
Yeah. I made that funny.
Which, I mean, I think I mean, the party one sucks, right? Like, party is just not a very good mechanic. And, like, getting two cards out of your top six, potentially, is probably worse than just tutoring your best ally directly into your hand. So I'd probably play General Tazri, but...
Especially whichever one allies... is the Oath of the Gatewatch one. That's the one
that's the General Tazri.
Okay, I cannot remember the Tazris.
I mean, allies need specific pieces, right? They need the Mana Reft Sliver, they have it. And
haste.
Then the, haste and sometimes life gain. Like, you gotta have specific allies, and a tutor on a commander is usually a good thing, even though it's sometimes boring. But allies... you gotta do whatever it takes.
I think if I'm forced to play allies, that's not Sokka, non-Sokka allies. I actually would go for Tazri Beacon of Unity. I see the other one is more of just like a hidden commander, like Rocco or whatever. Like this is my five color Zada deck. This is my mirror entity deck, you know? Like I'm doing silly stuff with that.
Actually,
and then if I actually just want to play allies, Tazri Beacon of Unity, you should be playing it for like... two mana, maybe up as low as one mana. That's pretty good. And then, it's four mana to draw two cards, but, like, you're drawing two gas cards that are relevant to your deck. I think that's fine.
I might change my opinion because of Great Divide Guide, actually, that, like, pay a blue, a black, a red, and a green, discounting the hybrid, to look at your top six and snag two allies. Actually seems really good when you have Great Divide Guide mana. Like, because that's you don't have to tap or anything. So you can do that multiple times in a turn, right? Like, you can just be popping off once you get the mana going. Still,
you can also do draw go. Oh. You don't have to do it sorcery speed. So you can hold up your mana and then, like, wait until you don't need to use interaction or something.
Yeah.
And then Tazri.
True. Draw go, ally control.
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't the tutor on the stick. I find that more boring, honestly.
What letter grade would you give them from our scale, like, for allies? Like, S and A? Are they in that range? Like, do we have an S-tier ally commander?
They're both, like, Bs for
They're
allies.
They're both Bs, yeah.
All right. For allies, I think Tazri is great as, like, a hidden commander, but whatever. Not for allies.
But Tazri would still need to be allies. It would be a hidden commander in
Zada,
probably, right? I guess if you're getting Zada, Ooh, Morophon.
Would you rather just choose Morophon?
Morophon. I kind of hate Morophon, though. I liked Morophon when they printed it, but now they just print actual commanders for all the creature types, and I feel like Morophon is way less necessary today than it was, like, 7 years ago or whenever. Let's move on. We got a couple more groups to get to. Next, we'll get the big one out of the way. Slivers. There are six different five-color sliver commanders. All of them do the sliver thing of, like, benefiting all your other slivers in one way or another. Sliver Grave Mother lets you encore your slivers from the graveyard. Sliver Hive Lord gives all your slivers indestructible. Sliver Legion gives all your slivers +1/+1, or gives all slivers, not even all your slivers, +1/+1 for each sliver on the battlefield. Overlord lets you tutor up slivers. Sliver Queen lets you put sliver tokens into play. Which sliver five-color commander? If you want to build slivers, which direction are you going to go? Krim, let's start with you. What's the best five-color and worst five-color sliver commanders?
I think sitting at the top, it's pretty... Okay, it's kind of tough because I do really like Overlord, but I think that's because Overlord allows me to get whatever sliver I want whenever I want, really.
It is powerful.
But I kind of really love the first sliver. I think the first sliver for me just... beats out the, like, Overlord by a good amount, I guess. I just love having all my slivers cascade because it leans into the sliver madness, right?
Yeah.
So you're just casting slivers, more slivers spawn. I don't know which one. It's less targeted, so you can, like, beat me however you need to, like, board wipe me, because I don't know what sliver I'm going to get. I'm just going to spin the wheel and see what I find. And it just adds to the sliver madness, and that for me is fun. So, I don't know. Giving anything cascade seems pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very, very good, very good. I would say that's probably the strongest one, too, personally. But what do Phil and Tomer think? What would you rank number one for Slivers?
I love Sliver Queen, but $300. So I would probably go for Sliver because I like cascading. I do love Sliver Queen. It's super nostalgic for me. And it's legit crazy good, I think.
It is.
It's not too hard to get combos with this.
Mana
which
echoes.
Makes it... Yeah. More interesting than sorry Sliver players, but at least it's something different than just flooding the board with Slivers. Maybe you have another goal there. Maybe two or three combo pieces to make it a little interesting, except for playing Slivers and dodging board wipes. That's usually what it is.
what's your pick, Tomer, for best Sliver commander?
I like the first Sliver. I like the cast. I generally don't play that many commanders that like ETB tutors because then I feel like I like the variety and I don't like going for the same pieces over and over again. So like I like Cascade over that. That seems more fun to me. But I also want to shout out Silver Gravemother. I feel like I'm the only person who likes this commander, but I feel like it's actually quite strong and just nobody cares for it. It's an encore one. You didn't even when you were mentioning all the slivers, he's like, you didn't even mention.
Did I forget Gravemother? Oops.
That's cool. I don't know. Encoring, it's very explosive.
Isn't this the sliver deck, the pre-con that wasn't really loaded with slivers as well, if I remember?
The what? It was from Commander Legend or whatever.
Yeah, it was the pre-con. And I remember the issue is like when it came out, did it like not have enough slivers?
I think that was true. The pre-con is
that's some of the drama around it. But yeah, no, Gravemother is also, come on, in comparison to the goats?
The thing with Gravemother is I really like it in the 99 is like a way to recur my slivers, but I don't think I would play over the first sliver as my commander. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong to think that all the sliver commanders are pretty good, though? Like when I look at all of these five color legends, I don't think I'd rank any of them as like actively bad, like a D tier or C tier card. I think they're all like Bs or better. And a lot of them are like, first sliver is just so much value because of the cascade. But you can build a very strong sliver deck with... maybe any of these commanders, honestly, if you want to.
When I think of like the creature types with the best commanders, it's probably usually slivers because they have so many good five color ones, right?
So
like
so many, uh-huh. Yeah,
so many. And I mean even Gravemother could be good, sure.
Wow, even Gravemother.
Look, difference between the top tier sliver commanders and Gravemother are big. That's all.
Yo, but the Gravemother, you have like a self mill strategy, slap down mana echoes, and then you can encore everything. Oh, so good.
Sure.
don't all the decks play the same 50 slivers anyway or whatever? Like, sliver decks all just look
the
same.
It's just what you want to put at the face, right?
Pretty much. All right, we have one more group in this one. This one's for you, Tomer. Five-color dragon commanders. We have three of them so far, and I know you have a deck built around one of these, even though it might play more cheaty dragons than real dragons. But we have the Ur-Dragon, the iconic, probably everyone knows what this one does. It's the big eminence one that draws cards and puts things into play, ramps you from the command zone. We have Scion of the Ur-Dragon, a five-mana flyer that you can pay to search your library for a dragon permanent card, put it in your graveyard, and if you do, it becomes a copy of until end of turn. And then we have Tiamat from Adventures in Forgotten Realms, 7 mana, 5 colors. When it enters, you tutor up 5 dragons not named Tiamat. If you cast it, you get to do this and put them into your hand. How would you rank these 5-color dragon commanders? I know the Ur-Dragon is the most popular and one of the most popular commanders, period, even discounting creature types. Can Tiamat and Scion of the Ur-Dragon keep up at all, or is it just clearly like it's the Ur-Dragon and everything else?
It's Ur-Dragon, right? Like, I love them. I love the other ones. I love Scion of Ur-Dragon.
That's
I love Tiamat.
Commander.
These are great. But, like, great. Solid A tier when I think of dragon. But when I think, S tier dragon is the Ur-Dragon. Ur-Dragon. It's not the Tiamat. It's not any of it's the Ur-Dragon.
Scion of the Ur-Dragon, though. Come on.
sure. But it's his Scion.
I think, like, Scion. I do think Scion is very, very strong. Just like the ability to have, like, here's your commander, you pay for 5 mana, you go to Swingies, and you turn it into, like, any of the ancient dragons that you want. Like, Ancient Brass or whatever, the one that makes treasures or the one that draws cards and stuff. That's pretty easy. And then it has some combos where, like, you turn it into, like, the dragon that you can pay Phyrexian mana to pump it, and then you turn it to Skitherix and you give it Infect or whatever, and then you're like, boom, somebody dies.
But, did you just win with Infect?
It is. Yeah. It is super. I honestly think Scion's, like, cooler than the Ur-Dragon. I think Scion of the Ur-Dragon's more like, it's hipster. It's like hipster. It's cool. It's not as good, it but it's cool.
I think it's one game,
dragons,
but like,
yeah,
every single time you're just doing the same thing over and over again, which I think is very good for content. I would do it if I had to play a commander of these for Clash or whatever. I'd pick Scion because it has a lot of cool tricks, but then I just don't like tutoring up the same tricks over and over again. Ur-Dragon's so cool though; it's the best changeling commander. Come on.
Does Tiamat have the same issue, Tomer, where you're just like tutoring up the same things over and over again? Yeah.
You find the Omniscience dragon enchantment and then you just pop off King.
It's one of those cards where you're like, oh, I could get anything. Think of all the cool things I could get. And then you just get the same things every time in your deck.
And then
the
you drop
thing.
That Omniscience and you're like, ah.
I mean, it is still pretty strong though. I think Tiamat's still, it's nowhere near the Ur-Dragon, but it's still pretty good. So those are all of our B tier, if you're doing my thing, play me. If you're not doing my thing, don't worry about me, commanders. Now we have some more generic commanders that are a little bit more open-ended, perhaps, than the ones we just talked about. And let's kick things off with some that I think we generally agree are not the strongest, but there's some disagreement here. So first, we have Child of Alara. Child of Alara. It's a 5. Mike, Tomer, why don't you tell us what Child of Alara is? What does Child do?
Thank you, Tomer. Please tell us, Tomer.
I'm so
tell
sorry.
Them
I'm so
what
sorry.
Child of Alara is.
The big baby is 5 mana, Wuburg, legendary creature, avatar. It's one of the original avatars before it was cool. 6/6 trample baby. When it dies, destroy all non-land permanents that can't be regenerated. This commander was one of the first commanders I ever built when I was getting into the game. It was like 2013. Dragon's Maze just came out, and I wanted to build a Maze's End deck. So I was like, okay, I'll build a Maze's End deck. But the problem is that as soon as I started putting my guilds on the battlefield, people would be like, hey, we have to kill Tomer. He's assembling Maze's End. So I was like, well, what if I ran a commander that just wiped the board every single turn on command? Boom, Child of Alara. So you have Child of Alara. You have like sack outlets like High Market and stuff. And then you have ways of getting back Child of Alara every single turn. So it could be like Genesis. That was like one of the old ones I had. There's like Fool's Demise or something like that.
Immortality?
Yeah, Fool's Demise. You put the enchantment, the aura on the baby, and then you sacrifice the baby, and then it will turn him back to the battlefield. And the enchantment goes back to your hand, and you just keep doing it over and over again. And everybody's like, oh, we have to gank up on Tomer. He's like, nope. Keep sacrificing the baby. Board gets wiped. Try to advance the board. You can't. And then I win. And
how
I hated myself.
How many games did your play? You keep that deck together, Tomer? Because I feel like it is very good at doing that. But two? Yeah, that sounds about right. I just
and
can't
they,
bring
they asked
myself.
Me to delete it, and I did.
I can't bring myself to play that archetype. Our rankings, Tomer and Krim both gave it an A. Phil gave it a D. I gave it a C. Krim, you also like this card. Is it the same philosophy as Tomer, basically? Just Wrath 'Em All?
Well, not only is it just Wrath 'Em All, but like it's the baby boy. But like on top of that, they reprinted it as a Miku.
The Miku bump. Yeah.
That's even
and
more
then,
BM.
And then I rebuilt Child of Alara, right? And I was like, okay, well, remember we've been saying indestructible doesn't mean much anymore in the current year, right? So I decided to rebuild Child of Alara, Miku, but then make it indestructible.deck. So everything was indestructible. So I played everything in that you could think of. And then, yes, it did eventually lead to the red Myojin or whatever that did blow up the land if I removed the divinity counter. But and then it's all board wipes. And I got to play that deck a full 3 times before I was told to never play it again.
Hey, so, you beat Tomer. Like, he only got 2.
Yeah, it turns out Big Baby is still good. Vocaloid or not, Big Baby is still just one of the most brutal, long, like that. It wasn't even like the constant wiping, even though the constant wiping is what led to like the 5-hour game.
Yeah.
It sounds like a nightmare, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, I won the episode where I played the Fortnite-themed deck where I needed a crying baby as my commander. And it's, you just hold the table hostage with this.
Oh, yeah.
A D is obviously not a power level ranking. It's just, please don't play
yeah,
this.
Don't play it against me.
I can't believe they printed it as a Miku just to get the weebs in on this misery.
Oh, no.
Dude, oh, my God.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it's a little like having an Ugin or something in the command zone.
It's like you do like you're going to do like a Miku Turgrid or something, and then all the weebs are like, well, time to Turgrid it up. My waifu demands it.
I mean, we've already done that, right? Because, like, I love SpongeBob.
So. Horrible.
Next up, we have several five-color commanders that we all ranked at the lowest possible ranks. All these, maybe one C thrown in. Curious if you have any thoughts on any of these. So we have Okagachi Vengeful Kami, kind of a five-color... don't attack me or I'm going to punish you, commander, I guess you'd say. We have Progenitus, protection from everything, one of the most iconic awesome. Lines of text on a magic card. We have Coyote, the Soul of Kamigawa, this four drop that flashes in to make a permanent indestructible but has a five color activated ability. We have Chromat, super...
Coyote? It's Kyoda.
He's a coyote.
Coyote.
I don't know. It's not coyote.
Coyote, yeah, and the Roadrunner. And then we have Chromat. Chromat, which is like a super old school five color legend. It's got a bunch of different random activated abilities. It's like five color good stuff, I guess, but not especially good in 2025 because it was made like 30 years ago. Any thoughts on any of these? Or they're basically just some of the weaker five color commanders, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I think of all of these, Kyoda is more interesting than I thought. I saw some kind of cool list where you protect your own stuff with it, but
okay.
Yeah, they're all
underpowered,
I think.
I like Okagachi if you're like, I tried to make it work with like running Initiative and Monarch and stuff that will make you want to hit me, and then I hit you back, but the problem is it's like, it costs a lot of mana, and then it needs to attack, it needs to deal damage, and then usually, like, I try to hit you back to get my monarchy back, and then somebody blows it up, and it's like, oh, okay. All right. I guess
Progenitus would be cool.
All right. Thank you.
Progenitus does have a classic Commander Clash moment. The game I won with Progenitus, I will always remember that on some jank week where Progenitus actually just hard cast it and attacked with it and actually got the job done somehow.
Still good.
Protection from everything.
All right, our last group of not great commanders we kind of all agree on. Rockamurl Biologist, Jangatha, the Companion, and Tazri Stalwart Survivor.
Can you just read the first two again? Did you say Rock and Roll Biologist?
Rock and Roll Biologist.
I heard.
Jangatha. Rockamurl's got to be kind of right.
Okay.
Jangatha.
I like Rock
not.
And Roll Biologist.
Rock and
That's
Roll Biologist.
Sick name.
Yeah. I would play that, actually.
So
I got to say, this one's at least it's interesting, the Biologist. I don't think we have a... What's the thing that switches every creature type to everything? I guess this one, you choose a creature type.
Like Maskwood Nexus, kind of. Or, yeah, we had a bunch of
different
ones.
This was the Sliver Commander with the Hive
what's
Mother.
The things from OG Kamigawa that trigger when stuff dies? That's also their creature type. It
Ashes
didn't come back
Fallen?
With.
Yeah.
No, it's a creature type. It's a thing.
The thing that Seth likes a lot.
Kamigawa. I like a Kamigawa
trigger
kind.
when things of their creature type dies.
The spirit. They're
only in the OG Kamigawa.
You did it on Clash at least twice, and the last time you actually won with it.
Oh, Zubera? Are we describing Zubera?
I think it's the most interesting Zubera commander, which hella niche, I guess.
It is niche, but it has, like, a lot of combos, too. I view this as kind of a combo commander where, like, it's just so unique being able to turn all your things into a different creature type is that it does give you some weird, like, super bad but, like, funny combos that you can do from the command zone. Tomer, I know you kind of like Cody a little bit, the artifact that makes it so you can't cast a lot of stuff but can then let you play some things better. describe Cody for me.
please describe it.
No, it's not that I like him or anything. It's just more the like I know it used to be a CDH deck. So the idea was, I think it was whenever Profane Tutor came out, I think it was MH2 or something like that, you could basically play Cody and then play any one-drop spell with Cody's ability. You'll cascade into Profane Tutor, and then you get a Nauseam, and you spend that rest of the mana and, I guess, more black to cast Ad Nauz and try to win. So it was popular for a bit, but that's basically it. I don't know. It's not really my favorite deck.
Yeah, the drawback's kind of high. Krim, we got one more here.
I just want to slightly throw in, though, that Cody is always busted. Like, it's either it is always busted, but the problem is it does the same, like, two things, and it's always busted.
I could see how it can be powerful. It's just, like, so restrictive that you're right, it is kind of the same deck every time. Like, people always just do the same thing. The last one we have in this tier, Tazri Stalwart Survivor. This is non-ally Tazri for some reason. It's a 3-drop that you can pay Wooburg and mill 5 cards and put all creatures with activated abilities that aren't mana abilities from among the milled cards into your hand. And each creature you control can tap to add a mana, but you can only spend the mana to activate abilities. I've never seen this commander be played. Have any of you ever seen this Tazri do anything? Like, I haven't played with it. I haven't played against it. It's like the forgotten Tazri for me.
Yep.
it's Aftermath.
So cool. I like it because
it's cool.
I remember, I think it was like Tom MTG Radio. I'm pretty sure he had like this 5-color activated abilities matters deck.
I remember
and
that.
It was like long, long ago, and he played. I don't know when his commander was at any given point. It's been like 7 years or something like that. And then I saw Tazri, and I'm like, oh man, finally the perfect commander for that. It's very specific. It's not very good, but like, I don't know. I think that it does what it needs to do. Fine. It's fine.
I hope Tom plays it. You've definitely now reminded me, after like seeing this list and reminding me of this card. This was one of those cards from Aftermath that I wanted to just build at some point because it seemed fun.
It looks cool.
Maybe I will finally get around to it, right? Like, it looks fun.
I've just never figured out what to do with it. I guess you just play a bunch of activated abilities and hope for the best. Yeah.
But remember, I'm going to play this.
Yeah.
I want to play it now. And the activated abilities that aren't mana abilities are the things that you get to put in the. So it can't be a mana dork. You can't just like play like tap Ignoble Hierarch. And then
that makes
it
a lot harder. If you could play mana dorks, it'd be good. Or better.
I mean, you could play mana dorks and then use the mana dorks and like the other things you have with things with activated abilities and have like mass untap effects and stuff like that. Okay, it could be fun. And
but
then you
the
can
mill
that
on
mana.
Tazri won't get it, is the main thing.
The mill on Tazri won't get it, but it's like,
should also put them on the battlefield. That's probably too much.
Well, I don't know about that.
Maybe it should be once a turn or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, once it's a tap. So if they put once a turn on a tap, that's a little. I know we want to untap it, but please.
But if you give all, then you just like intruder alarm and pop off immediately, right?
Sure.
Like,
things
tap for mana.
Not another intruder alarm combo. Can't we just have a fair activated ability?
Okay, whatever. I still think it's fine.
I'm thinking like Avatar of Woe, Visara the Dreadful, all heavy in black pips, but whatever. Yeah.
Man, actually, you guys kind of sold me on this being fun to build now. Now I kind of actually want to build this Tazri. The more we talk about it, I'm like, okay, maybe that would actually be kind of cool. I still don't think it would be like super powerful, like one of the strongest 5-color commanders, but you could probably
those
build a fun
boring.
Deck out of
Not
it.
Not everything has to be Jota where it's like, I'm going to autopilot the victory Jota. For you. It's like, ugh.
I have bad news for you, Tomer, because we've gotten through all the mid-tier commanders. We've gotten through all the bad commanders. So now we actually have what we view as the best of the 5-color commanders. And we're going to kick things off with Krim in some Final Fantasy action. Krim, Terra Magical Adept. It's got 2 Bs for me and you. It's got 2 As from Phil and Tomer. What's the card do? Why don't you let the viewers know what Terra's up to?
Okay. Hold on. Which of the pause? One second. I gotta make sure this is the right Terra, right?
It's the like flip one that mills on the front side and then flips into 5-color. Yeah.
I always get that these days. Like, anytime somebody is like, hey, can you build an Aang deck? I'm like, there's eight.
Which one?
Be more specific.
Okay. When Terra enters mill 5, put up to one enchantment card milled this way into your hand. Then trance, foreign gruel, exile it, return to the battlefield transformed. And then the backside has a first chapter. Create a token that's a copy of target non-legendary enchantment control. It gains haste. If it's a saga, put up to 3 lore counters on it. Sacrifice it at the beginning of your next end step. So that's going to do that for chapter 1, 2, and 3. And then chapter 4, add double of each color. So of Wooburg. Exile Terra. Flip her back to the front side where she'll then mill 5 cards. Do everything all over again. Okay.
What?
I mean, it's okay. You gotta be an enchantment deck, right? Like, or I would only play it in like 5 color enchantress. So I think it's a little narrow, but it's really good at that.
Well, why did he give Ur-Dragon an S? What are you gonna play? Not a dragon?
Changelings.
Deck?
Changelings.
Okay, that's true. Changelings are S tier. I take it back.
Ur-Dragons goes like absurdly wild. If you attack, right? Like it is even great there too. But anywho. Terra reads, like, she does all the stuff, and like, so I have actually played against a friend who has this deck, and the one thing here is, A, like Seth said, you're an enchantment deck, so everybody just kills you because you're an enchantress player, and if you try to play your game plan, it's the slowest defeat, and it just does, but it also takes what I mean by that is, like, it takes a very long time to kill you, or everybody dismantles you, and then your Terra just sits there slowly trying to copy something that just isn't there. Because everyone blew up everything around it, blew up the Terra, and then you're just sitting there doing nothing. This card either is swinging the game heavily in your favor as a commander, or doing stone cold nothing. So, I don't know. I don't think it's, like, bad. I think it's just fine. It's a solid enchantment commander.
Yeah.
It's good for sagas.
Definitely a good saga commander. The backside's kind of busted. Tell me you're kind of mumbling over there. You like Terra more than we do?
I think, like, okay, even if you're being hated on, this is 3 mana, mill 5, get an enchantment. Like,
sure.
That is the baseline. That's what you're going to be expecting. You know, if you're running like 35 enchantments or something in your deck, like an enchantress deck usually does, you're going to always hit an enchantment 9 times out of 10. And you're milling, which means you're setting up graveyard synergies and all that good stuff. I don't know. And then, like, okay, the backside, yes, the backside is very powerful. Backside could be risky, I guess. But, like, I pay 3 mana, I mill, I further my game plan, I put an enchantment in my hand. Maybe I could even, like, blink it a couple times, too. There's some sagas that, like, exile and return. That seems fine for me. Like, I don't know. I don't have to go all, like, swinging for the fences every single time. I feel the base is pretty good and resilient, so I like it.
I like that it's a 5 color commander that's only 3 mana, and you can just, like, you can just cast it and generate value, and if it dies, generate value, and you don't have to worry about flipping it necessarily, which is kind of unique because a lot of 5 color commanders are a little bit pricey. But let's move on to our next one. Phil, this one's for you. You're the Simic value player here. We have the Wandering Minstrel, which literally all of us gave A's across the board. What is the Wandering Minstrel, Phil?
It is, wait, let me find the card here. It is a Simic 2-drop, so... I mean, Simic, one blue and one green, 1/3, and that's only one relevant line of text here. Lands you control enter untapped, and then at the beginning of combat of your turn, if you control 5 or more towns, create a 2/2 elemental creature tokens. That's all colors, sure. A coalition victory, and then for that's even worse here, 3 mana and Wooburg. Other creatures you control get +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of towns you control. I would probably not put a single town in this deck, but I would put all the bounce lands in this deck and probably go mill myself and then Standard Reclamation, all the big ram spells, like, really take advantage of, the thing that we always play, X
open the
and
way?
green, open the way, and then you get bounce lands, they enter untapped, you play extra land drops. It's just incredibly efficient ramp if you abuse it. Like, we've seen Spelunking pop off way more than we expected, I think.
Yeah.
And it also makes budget mana super good. Because then you like can just towns. Play guild gates or
yeah, you
towns.
Can just play all the towns. Yeah, mazes. I think the towns are actually good. Like I think the towns are good in the deck.
It's fine.
Maybe the towns are fine in the deck.
What
but
about storage lanes though? Big brain. No. You do the balance lanes, you do the storage lanes. Yeah. Oh my god. Insane.
I've been toying with this just being a generically good five-color commander if you're playing the green ramp spells. I think just like kind of like how you can play Kenrith or whatever and just be like, I want a five-color deck. I don't have any strong theme. I think you can do that with the Wandering Minstrel just because letting your lands come into play tapped is so good.
And he comes out on two. Like he comes out before a lot of your ramp and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, it's very good.
Well, let's keep moving on. Tomer. We're up to Sissei Weatherlight Captains. Got Bs across the board, except for you, Tomer. Gave it an A. Why don't you tell us about Sissei?
I know Sissei's also like a CDH deck, too. That's why I was like,
ooh,
I got to give
Sissei
it a little props.
CDH?
Yeah. Just being it, I don't remember because I haven't watched a Sissei deck in like forever, but I think it's like you tutor into something. I think it's like Giganta or something like that. And if Giganta has haste, then you tap Giganta and you make the Wooburg mana, which will allow you to find something else, which will be legendary that will untap the Giganta and you do a blah, 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 blah. It's like a birthing pod.
Oh, that's cool.
Deck.
Okay. I can get
behind
it's
that. It's strong. It also can find all the culture pieces. So I have attempted to win with Sissei Cauldra.
Oh, my God.
But,
of course you have.
But you stopped that. It was a noble attempt, so I give her props.
Where does Sissei rank if you want to play Legendary Matters? Is this the go-to, you would say? Or is there anything else in the running for like generic Legendary Matters, five color?
There might be an easier one these days.
There might be a better one, yeah.
Less CDH playable, I would say, but still better.
I guess since we're talking about legends, let's just get this one out of the way. We got one commander that we all agreed. Actually, Erdragon, we all agreed, was S across the board. But our second one we agreed is S across the board. Jota the Unifier. Kind of a busted commander. Might be even better with legendaries than some of these other ones. If somehow you don't know this card, it's a 5/5. It says legendary creatures you control get +X/+X, where X is the number of legendary creatures you control. And whenever you cast a legend spell, you essentially cast Pseudo Cascade into a legend. One of the most popular commanders, one of the most arch enemy commanders. If you see someone playing this, you know they're going to have a lot of power on the battlefield very, very quickly if Jota sticks. And if you just want to play a bunch of legendary creatures, the card is, it's super busted. You can be like a humans deck. You can just be generic legends. One of the strongest commanders. I don't even know what else to say about it. It's just, it's a kind of a busted card, right?
Can even make grannies.
Yeah. even makes grannies good. it is a little boring, yeah.
It is cool if you are just, you know, doing all combat, right? Because it is kind of funny to just like swing in with these like silly legendaries. But the thing is, it doesn't matter which legendaries, right? All it cares about is legendary. So you're right in that it's kind of just, yeah, but it is cool that it's a beat 'em up, right? Like you are going to beat people up very efficiently. So I guess that part of it's cool.
I will say Sissei works better with non-creature legends, right? Maybe that's kind of the differential because you can actually use it to tutor up things that aren't creatures that are legendary too. So I still think Jota's the stronger of the two, but there is, I could imagine a deck that was themed around legends where I'd want Sissei more than Jota as my commander. Like I could build that deck. But let's keep moving on. We're back to you, Crib. Next on our list, we have a card that me and you aren't very high on, but Tomer and Phil like a little bit. In Ramos Dragon Engine, what is Ramos, Grim?
this is an old one. It's a 6-mana artifact dragon. It's 6 generic mana and flying. Whenever you cast a spell, put a 1/1 counter on Ramos for each of that spell's colors. Then remove 5 counters from Ramos, and you can add double of Wooburg of each. Yeah, double Wooburg, and activate only once each turn. This is a card that, it's just a 4/4. I don't know. This card used to be like one of the most scary like commanders, you know, and I get it. I understand.
Kids use this.
It was an old pillar, and now it is
their
just
elders.
Fine. Right? Like, it's just a fine card to like, maybe I think it's unplayable in 6 mana for no reason. So I don't know. Is it just me? It just doesn't do as much as I wish it did anymore. Yeah.
I'm with you. I also have it as C tier. I think outside of building a deck that's designed to like kind of combo around its ability, it just doesn't really appeal to me. We have so many of these like multicolor matters Niv cards we talked about earlier. So if you just want to add a bunch of counters, you can play one of those and probably build a better multicolor deck. I don't really see what role this serves anymore. But Tomer, you have this at A. Convince me I'm wrong. What purpose does Ramos serve these days?
I mean, Ramos Lucky Charms is a classic, right?
That like is, focus that is on, a classic.
It's like, focus on multicolor matters. It's pretty easy. Like, you cast, like, 2 3-color charms. You already have the remove 5, and you make 10 mana. 10 mana is a lot. You dump that into some big spells. You have a wild time. I think it still slaps even to this day. It grows really fast too. So if you have like a charm like Boros Charm or something, and you give it double strike, you can easily commander damage people out of the game too. The only problem is it takes a little bit of time to get online. It's 6 mana, and then you have to start casting some spells too. Whereas like these days, if we cast like Niv-Mizzet Reborn, you're like, I don't care if it dies, whatever. I got like 10 cards in my hand. Whatever. But I think like it has to still be respected, because if you let it sit around, it's like Johto also doesn't do anything when it enters the battlefield too. You have to then cast spells afterwards too. And I feel like Ramos is the same thing, except, I mean, Johto is obviously a little bit stronger, but it's the same concept where if you let this untap, you're going to be in for a very bad time. And I think it should still be respected.
Yeah, you whenever like I play against this, they get 10 mana each turn.
Yeah.
And it feels very trivial to pull this off. So I guess you could say, yeah, just remove it. And if you remove it, I guess it sucks and it's an artifact and it's probably easier to remove than other things. But if you don't, which I'm not known to have the removal spell. So just having 10 mana every turn, not even because casting creatures. So you can have just a talent.
Yeah.
Like
whatever you want.
Yeah.
Whatever, innkeeper talent, then put some counters on this, and just 5 counters, if you build around it, is super easy. And then
when you spend that mana, you get those counters back too, right? Like,
oh yeah, yeah. Once you get it going,
feeds itself.
That's it feeds itself, and then
it can take over a game if unchecked. That's for sure. That is for sure. It can still take over the game. It's just like kind of slow to get going by. I feel like 10 years ago, it didn't feel slow. It felt really scary. Now it can still pop off, but I feel like it's just a little slow compared to like the best things going on these days. But speaking of the best things going on these days, Phil, we got a little CDH action here with Najeela the Blade Blossom. What is this commander that everyone gave an A to, except Tomer went full on S tier with the CDH bump? Tomer, is that the CDH coming through with Najeela?
Yeah, it's just a stupid
game. Yeah. But what does Najeela do, Phil?
You mean Cloud?
Cloud. I mean Cloud.
Did they get a Cloud?
Every time it gets. It's also a secret layer of Archon the Ever Chosen. And
oh my
then
God,
there's
Dick
man,
a
why does
there's
it
fire so many
also as
Eivor Raven
why is
or Kaon
changing
the
character all the time? Okay, so it is 3 mana, 3/2. Whenever a warrior attack, you may have its controller create a 1/1 white warrior token that's tapped and attacking, and then for 5 mana, no tap, but untap all creatures. They gain trample, lifelink, haste until end of turn. After this phase, there's an additional combat phase. Activate only during combat, but make sure you activate this infinite times. And it's so easy. Every time I play against this, it ends right in the next combat. And it's infinite combat. And that's... It is S power level, I think, if you build around it.
It's so just good. A mistake card, right? Is this not just like a commander they pushed a little bit too much, and it's like kind of a little too good for its own good, sort of?
It feeds itself so much.
Yes. This is the biggest crime it does, is it doesn't even need warriors. Like, actually, like the best decks don't have warriors in the deck. And it's like, this is the warrior commander, right? It's rewarding for playing warriors. And then CDH is like, nah, we'll just attack with it. We make our warriors, which will make warriors. And that's it. That's all you need. And it's like, oh man, what a so
that's
dumb.
Oh, It's like people playing Kahira as a companion in decks that have no creatures.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my creatures are the right types. I'm like, no, shut up. Shut up. Come on now.
Oh, no. My control deck.
All right. Next up, Tomer, we got a classic here that we still don't rank that highly. A bunch of bees in a sea. Morophon the Boundless, Tomer. What do you think about this one? What's it do?
So Morophon the Boundless is a 7-mana colorless, or 7-mana generic for a 6/6 legendary creature shapeshifter changeling. As it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Spells of the chosen type cast cost Wooburg less to cast, but this effect reduces only the amount of colored mana you pay, and other creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+1. This was printed as kind of like a catch-all for any creature type that doesn't have like an official commander. So it's like you want to play, I don't know, Trilobites or whatever, then you can put all your Trilobites in Morophon and you'll get some sort of discount on it. It's Wooburg. It gives a little bit of an anthem effect. I played it actually as the original changeling commander, but like the problem is that it's 7 mana. Yeah. Seven mana is a lot. Even for any creature type, I think it's kind of cute. Like if you have like, I don't know, it's like Fist of the Suns or something. There's something where you can start casting spells for nothing or something like that. Yeah. But it's just like, I feel like this is something that you sometimes want to have. Like I have it in the 99 changelings, but like in the command zone, I'm not convinced. Seems like a lot. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm glad they made it. This is a card they printed in the first Modern Horizon, so 2019, I want to say. So we're going on like 6 years ago. I was glad they made it when they made it, just because there were a lot of creature types that didn't really have a good commander, and it's nice to have something that's at least like sort of functional. I feel like it's less necessary now, just because we're getting more and more 5-color commanders that are like filling in these gaps. Like, if you want to play 5-color turtles, just wait a couple months until we get to the Ninja Turtles set, and you're going to have multiple 5-color turtle commanders. So I feel like it's using a little bit less of its usefulness. I also feel like it just feels wrong if you're the commander player who like cares about your decks being thematic, and I know some players really care about that. Isn't Morophon just like awkward feeling? Because it's like this changeling, if you're playing a dog deck and your commander is this Morophon changeling thing, it just feels weird, right? Like, so I don't know. I'm kind of like meh on it, but I guess I'm glad it exists.
I don't know. I mean, what better kind of correct to be than technically correct, right?
Yeah. So, that is a magic player way, yeah.
If you squeeze, yeah, it kind of looks like a dog, cat.
It could be a dog, elk, deer, you know?
Yeah.
I'm here for it. I like it as a whatever you want it to be, right? Like, and I think it is fun. I think it's overcosted, as I think about it now. But I don't know. Is it bad? I don't think I feel any.
I'm like B tier on it. It's like fine. It's just like fine to me. It's like it's filler, right? It's like I don't have a commander I really want to play for this deck, so I can play Morophon. So it's very like filler level to me.
But
yeah,
it's for the creature types that it just
that don't
anything.
Have a commander.
Yeah,
like, it's so it doesn't have any identity.
And even
basically.
Then, though, like. Are you better off changing. Just playing Kenrith or 5-color Omnath or like,
no.
I don't know.
No.
Yeah, it feels a little, you're right, actually. So I checked for goat decks just now, and it turns out the few goat decks that are existing, they just play commanders that goat other creatures. I guess there's only one letter difference there. So at least it's funny. Because with Morophon, you kind of get the same feeling of, oh, they printed a commander just for my deck, just like one of the slop commanders. Not, I mean, they are fine as well, but it doesn't feel like clever to play Morophon goats. So maybe just play Nelly Borka and goat people and play goats.
That's goat so weird goat. To me that goat commanders are the most popular goat legends.
Well,
okay.
The benefit here is that Morphon benefits from your goat stuff, right? Like if you're playing a Kithkin deck and this is all Kithkin you control, get +1/+1, then Morphon will get the +1/+1. So
that's
there's like
true.
A little bit, there's a little bit there, but it's not much.
Could it be like a lower-powered Ur-Dragon for Changelings, Tomer? Is, like, if you wanted to, like, tone down Changelings a little bit, would Morophon be a consideration?
Yeah, that was my original Changeling commander was Morophon, but then it was, like, a little bit...
Not good enough.
And then, but I put him in the 99. He's great in the 99.
All right, we got three more five-color legends left. Next up, we have my go-to when I build a five-color generic commander deck, and I just want to be five colors, and that is Kenrith the Return King. So Kenrith, five mana for a 5/5. It's got an activated ability of each color. Can pay a red to give all creatures trample and haste until end of turn. One and a green to put a +1/+1 counter on something. Two and a white to have a player gain 5 life. Three and a blue to have a player draw a card. Four and a black to reanimate a creature. Well, sort of reanimate. Put a creature from a graveyard onto the battlefield under its owner's control. So you can reanimate from your graveyard, but if you reanimate your opponent's stuff, it's going to go into play for them. Kenrith, I think, is very boring. I think that it is the epitome of a five-color commander that doesn't really ask you to do anything specific with your deck. You don't need a theme. You don't need to, like, build around in any way. But it's kind of like the five-color slop commanders. It does, if you just want to put five colors of cards together and you want a commander that's going to be fine no matter what, I feel like Kenrith does a good job of, like, filling that role for me. So if I don't really care about my commander, I'm playing five colors, and I don't want to go meme tier and play, like, Atog because it's funny, and I need something that's actually kind of strong, Kenrith is one I go to a lot. But I think we have all A's and S's across the board. What do you guys think of Kenrith?
This is just the five color. Didn't you have a season where you played nothing but Kenrith decks? Like you had
I played a lot of Kenrith decks.
Yeah, yeah. For CDH, a lot of Kenrith. It's CDH playable too, which is
sure.
Not
why not? I mean, but it just feels so good.
It's
no matter
good.
What base level.
Is it? I mean, it's just if you have infinite mana, right?
It's if you have like training center or something like that to reduce the activated ability, but like. I think it's underselling him a little bit. Like, yes, the abilities look a little bit generic, but when I see it in practice, it always feels like a very political commander. Like, because these abilities can target your opponents. Oftentimes, I'll see, like, somebody get taken out because the counter player will be like, yo, if you play a bunch of creatures, I can give them trample and haste. Can we kill out the archenemy? And there'll be politics happening there. You can reanimate other people's creatures. You can, like, gain them life so they don't die. You can mess with combat math with the +1/+1 counters. I actually think this one is, like, it looks very boring, but it has a lot of politics. And I've seen people utilize it very well. Like, even Seth, like, I've noticed Seth, like, utilizes very well. So I feel like it's like it's more interesting than what the abilities actually might lead you to believe, and it feels very like a Kingly thing because Kingly alliances and everything. I don't know. I like him.
I mean, just one mana everything gets trample and haste is a really powerful effect on a commander. Mm-hmm. Like, just that mode is so good. And the rest of them look a little pricey, but there's situations where they're all fine. Like, sometimes even just putting a single counter on something or the threat of having your mana up and putting a counter on something makes combat really difficult on your opponent. So it is a very strong card. I just think it's, like, kind of generic. My criticism isn't power level. It's just, like, I don't know. I tend to just play it as a good stuff commander rather than building around its abilities. But anyway, we got two more commanders to go. We're back to you, Krim. Krim, we have one more Jota, the less scary Jota. But still pretty scary. Jota Archmage Eternal. What does Jota 2.0 do, Krim?
So Jota Archmage Eternal, one in Jeskai. Flying, you may pay Wooburg rather than pay the mana cost for spells that you cast. For spells that you cast. And he's a 4/3 flyer. I mean, this was the big scary bad when Dominaria came out. Like, oh, he was very strong because getting to cheat all your stuff out for exactly 5 mana. But I don't know. He kind of just... That's kind of a lot nowadays unless you combo off. And at that point, if you have actual whatever, everything costs Wooburg less, then that's just a combo, right? Then you've won one way or the other. Other than that, it just doesn't really excite me at all. I think he's still playable. It's just not
exciting
to me. He's kind of just boring. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, eh.
Yeah. He's a removal check, I think. It's like,
sure.
Yeah. Can you kill Jota? Okay, no. I untap 5 mana Omniscience. 5 mana Eldrazi Titan. Yeah, 5 mana big spell Ruinous Ultimatum. Like,
he will still win, right? Not saying that he can't. But like you said, he's a removal check, but just kind of kind of boring.
What do you think, Phil? Are you a Jota believer?
I play him a lot in Brawl. I still have this Brawl Jota Kiruga deck that I play from time to time. And it is a removal check. Although, usually I don't even play Jota that much anymore in this deck. It's just ramp and cast the stuff because nowadays everything gets so cheap. I don't think I play the Eldrazi Titans. Yeah, kind of weird that my Jota deck kind of turned away because everybody has removal. It's, to be fair, it's Brawl. Maybe in regular Commander. Wait, actually, you get killed way more. I would just focus on the Jota player, so maybe none of the Jotas fun.
it's so scary, right? Like, you just have to kill it, because if they untap and can cast anything for 5 mana, it's gonna go really bad. But as another is, like, kind of generic. It doesn't ask much of you, right, as far as building around. It's just kind of like, be good, like, play good big stuff. And
I will defend this. I feel like Haymaker.deck is an archetype. Like, okay. If you want to be jamming, like, all these big mana spells, you generally have to be running a lot of things that enable it. And there's cards that, like, care about high mana value matters, and, like, there is definitely a lot of building around potential. I like the idea of high like Jaleva too, where you're cheating out, like, huge Blatant Thievery effects and stuff, and you're like, so your mana curve, instead of, like, everybody being like, you know, where average mana is 3, then these decks are like average mana value like 9 or something. I think that's cool and battle cruisy. It's just like, I feel like I love that idea of it, but then in actually playing, I don't like when it's like a commander is like, okay, if you let me untap, I win. Then it's just kind of like, okay, either I shut you down and you don't get to do anything, or I let you win and then we shuffle up, I guess. And it's like, I don't like that dynamic. But that's a lot of different commanders these days, honestly.
Yeah, I guess we are getting more and more that direction. Well, if you like jamming big things into play, we got one more commander that we all agree is super strong. I gave it an A. Y'all gave it S's. So I think this is up with the Ur-Dragon. And Kenrith is the overall strongest commanders that we have on our entire list. And that is a Phil classic. Azika got it, please, Phil. Why don't you tell us about Azika?
All right. So Azika is the front side, and you probably won't cast it. It is. Do I even read it? It's one
if we're
and
being
two
honest.
Green. It's a 1/4 vigilance. Taps to add one mana of any color, and then other legendary creatures you control have vigilance and tap for any color. I've seen somebody build around this. I've seen way more people, including me, a bunch of times, build around the backside. Build around, I don't know if you even need to build around this. It's the Prismatic Bridge, an enchantment for Wooburg at the beginning of combat, of your turn. Upkeep. At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a creature or planeswalker card. Put that card on the battlefield and the rest on the bottom in random order. Oh man, this is scary because the problem is the deck can still play counter spells and stuff, and it's not like Cascade where you have to make sure maybe I Cascade into this at the wrong moment. This one is just, you can play interaction, you can play ramp, and then you can play the stuff to ramp into almost a little boring, but it's pretty good. At some point, it's just so good, it's good.
Yeah, Azika's, it solves even some of the problems with other, like Jota, equally scary in the sense that you're going to be putting huge things into play, but the Prismatic Bridge is an enchantment, which makes it harder for a lot of decks to deal with it. So I think as far as if you want to do the, like, spin big things into play, it's just so much more resilient than the creature versions of the effect that I think this is just, like, the best way to do that. Yeah, there's some randomness that you don't know what you're going to spin into, but if you just overload on, like, 10 drops, you're going to spin into something busted.
Yeah. It's just going to be nonstop haymakers. Just cheating on mana every turn anyways is always going to be good, right? So, I don't know. This is always busted, no matter what you do. Now, I'd love to see a deck that just uses the front side of Azika, okay? Like, not the Prismatic Bridge, just likes the front side. Well, that is the deck.
I just need some mana dorks, yeah.
Sure.
Anyway, that is our 5-color commander ranking. Unless I missed one, I think we covered all of them in one form or another. So let us know what you think. You've seen our rankings of the best commanders. You see, Tom, we missed Corona. Corona.
Best
one. Oh, God.
Yeah, Corona. Corona, when we filled out our spreadsheet with our rankings, I gave that an M tier for meme because I feel like that's the only reason that you would play that card. It's basically just a meme commander.
How could you say that to Tomer?
I have a Corona deck. What are you insulting my meme?
No,
what?
A meme isn't.
It is a meme deck, right?
Did you just say, are you insulting my meme deck? I think.
Okay. You're supposed to, you put the impetus cycle on it, so it's permanently goaded. But then, and then either people kill each other with your corona, which is hilarious, or they remove the enchantment, then you die. But either way, it's memorable.
Fair.
It's my weakest deck, but I really enjoy it.
It is unique. It is unique, Commander. I'll give it that at least. But anyway, now we have talked about every five-color Commander, unless we missed any more. So thanks for watching. You've heard our rankings. Let us know what your favorite five-color Commander is. What did we get right? What did we get wrong? Let us know that too, and we'll be back next week to talk some more Commanders. So until then, have a great week, everyone. And this is the crew signing out.